We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good Sunday morning, everybody, and welcome on in. It is Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. A lot to get to in the world of boxing, mixed martial arts, whatever the hell Triller was doing last night. So a lot to get into. Boxing was tremendous last night between Brandon Figueroa, Stephen Fulton. Fulton coming out on top as the unified 122 champion. And then, of course, we had in my mind, the undisputed championship at lightweight, 135 pounds. I mean, you know, WBC can't make up their mind. Are they claiming George Kambosos is their champion? Are they not? I mean, you know, it sounds like we're probably going to go down that direction anyway. So we'll find out. But the man who has the most belts now at 135 pounds is George Ferocious Kambosos. I want to start there. You guys know we had George on the program many times, and we had him on recently before this fight, before he ended up traveling to New York for this bout against Teofimo Lopez. Very hard to stay unbiased in watching this fight. I was rooting for him very, very hard. And, you know, the guy is he's such an interesting character to talk to because a lot of this stuff, you know, a lot of these guys you talk to, you do this for a long time. You know who's trying to talk themselves up or, you know, trying to play maybe to the moment. And for anybody that thought that George Kambosos was doing that, you were sorely mistaken. I mean, the guy has been the same guy for the, you know, 3+ years that I've been interviewing the guy. He has been this iron-willed, this steadfast, this tunnel-visioned on getting to the title. And, you know, eventually you got to put the microphones aside and all that stuff goes away and you have to go execute. And to make the statement that he did in that first round to put Teofimo Lopez on the canvas when Lopez was trying to do everything in his power to put George Kambosos on the canvas, and for you to flip the script on him and you to knock him down, that was absolutely crazy because he was eating some absolute bombs from Teofimo. He really, really was. I don't understand. I saw this. There was one thing that was really confusing because I was curious to see the scorecards after this thing was over, even though I did think that George correctly got the decision. But I was very curious to see what the scorecards were going to be. I just wanted to see where things were. And I saw that two of the judges... Yeah, this is on Dan Rayfield's Twitter account. Two of the judges didn't give him a 10-8 round that round, which I thought was crazy. I was like, am I reading that right? Two of them aren't giving him the nod there. And yeah, sure enough, you had Dontrella Willis. He gave him a 10-9, didn't give him the 10-8. You had Frank Lombardi, he did give him the 10-8. And Glenn Feldman didn't give him a 10-8. He gave him a 10-9, which I thought was crazy. I didn't, you know, like, it was pretty wild because, yes, Teofimo was definitely winning the round up until that point, but he got put on his ass. That's a grave mistake, and I feel like the scoring has to pay for it. So when I saw that on the scorecards going back, I was like, what? That's pretty crazy. Ended up being 115-112, 115-111, both going for Kambosos, and then 113-114 the other way. But man, it was really such a statement for George right out of the gate. His fans were fast. That was something that was very, very noticeable, is just the hand speed was tremendous from him. You had Teofimo Lopez, who really, I think they had a huge reevaluation of what they were trying to do, because all this talk about he was going to be the guy to knock him out in the first round, all that jawing, all that talk. And it's funny that he is the one who is delivering a lot of this talk and saying that you bring nothing to the table. But all the head games, all the steadfastness from George Kambosos, in a lot of ways, really, really rattled that whole camp in Teofimo Lopez. Not just him, but his father getting to the workouts like a crazy person and trying to go after the Kambosos family and talking about all this stuff. Oh, he assaulted. He's like the guy, like, touch me and I'll sue. I felt like his dad was letting him down in a lot of ways in that corner today. There's always been a big debate about, you know, fathers and whether they make good trainers. And I don't know. I think some of them do a tremendous job and they've led their sons to some pretty great heights. But I do think whether he was his father or whatever, the role tonight of trainer, I thought that Teofimo Sr. really, really did a poor job in not only his preparation for his son, but having the energy so high and all that type of stuff. And really, I think probably anxing him on to go and get that knockdown and seek it out so much. But for George, he weathered it so well. And really, I mean, the fight was his, man. This was his fight basically up until, you know, you got to about round 8. And you started to see a little bit of life from Teofimo Lopez. He started getting a little bit of the better of these exchanges, because they would get into these wild exchanges usually at the end of these rounds. And Kambosos was just getting the best of it, man. He was faster. He was getting the cleaner shots. The jab was slick. The check hook was looking great. And I really just thought that you had a bewildered Teofimo Lopez. Now, look, credit to him. With all the ass kicking that I thought, and I really thought, it was a lopsided ass kicking that he was taking up until about round 8. Not a very close fight up until that point, in my mind. But to really show a really great heart of a champion, to really flip things from like rounds 8 through 10, where he eventually gets the knockdown in round 10, and George looks like he's in a bad way. I mean, I think this might be, because he looked like he got hurt around round 9. You're like, all right, this may not be looking so good. You're starting to see maybe that the strength from Teofimo maybe starting to pay dividends. He was really starting to hit him with some body work too. That was paying off. And that was a devastating knockdown, but he really tried to go for broke after he got it. That he thinks that, you know, maybe he thought that he had it in the bag. Maybe he thought it was the exclamation point. I don't know. Because he didn't really go for that absolute kill shot, and George was really coming back by the end of it. I mean, he had his feet, he had his bounce back to him, and so it really was, it felt like going to come down to, all right, what's going to happen in 11 and 12? Is this going to be Teofimo continuing to slant? Is he on his way to stopping this fight? Or does George have anything left? And if he was going to have anything left, he needed to show it immediately. Holy hell, did he. I mean, he came out in that 11th round and he butchered the face of Teofimo Lopez, caught him up badly, gushing blood to a point where they had to stop it in the middle of the round to have him looked at because he was getting peppered so much. It was such a great response from George Kambosos, where you're going into the swing of things. It looks like you have this thing in cruise control. Okay, we're getting to the middle of this fight. Now the undisputed champion, now the man at 135 is really starting to put pedal to the metal here, and this could be all she wrote. And to respond like that every single time Teofimo tried to put the pressure, tried to intimidate, tried to really take this fight by the neck, George Kambosos was there to respond, whether it was a better flurry, whether it was taking those big right hands in the first round and responding with a bigger right hand to knock him down, whether it be any of these flurries in the rounds, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, and who was getting the better of it, he was. Whether it was taking the knockdown in 10 and coming back strong in 11, every single time George Ferocious Kambosos had an unbelievable response to anything the champion had to dish out to him. And today he sits among the 135 division as your unified, undisputed, whatever the hell spin you want to put on. This dude's got more belts than anybody else. He's got the IBF, the WBO, the WBA. And if the WBC can decide what the hell they want to do with that franchise belt, I guess he's got that too. Ring Magazine. And I thought he had the line of it all, man. He says that he had the line where he said that these guys, they've been calling themselves the Four Kings. Well, I'm the Emperor because I came into their land and I took everything. I thought it was just, mwah. That was that for the Spartan himself to have such a beautiful line was just tremendous from him. And the thing you love about this, man, when you do this type of thing is when especially you see the guys who you've known before anybody knows them and they go and do something like that, you just feel so happy for them. And it's kind of like, I guess for music fans, discovering a band before they really go mainstream. And you're always hoping for these big time moments where you're like, man, I was on that train before anybody else was. And for George, this guy has just had such an iron will. All those rounds that he sparred with Manny Pacquiao, all that work that he put on at Javier Centeno's Sweatbox Gym, everybody on his team who believed in the guy. I was speaking with his manager, Peter Kahn, when we did our last sit down before this fight. And he goes, look, I really, really genuinely believe in it. It's a manager, so you take what it is. But I believe if we follow this game plan, I think he's going to do it. And it's tough after not talking to George that you're just like, man, I kind of believe in him too. But Teofimo's a beast. And you're gonna hear, I think, every excuse under the sun from that camp. You started even hearing it in the post fight where it was, oh, I've been wanting to move up ever since I got the belts. Okay, we know that's kind of been a thing, but you didn't. You'll probably be hearing the things about the COVID. You'll be hearing the things about the fight getting moved, all that type of stuff. Look, all I know is they finally, after all the BS, first the idea that the first delay was on him. Secondly, that all the maneuvering that went down. All right, you eventually agreed to it. You agreed to another promotion. You didn't move on to something else. So you got to be ready. It's not like you're going to be ill-prepared for George Kambosos. You knew what you're getting into. You just thought that you were a cut above the guy. Thought you were a class above. And okay, that's fine. But that's everything that Kambosos said, that the guy was buying into his own stuff, was not training like he was. And let's see. Listen, now George has a lot of that stuff to deal with. George is going to have to deal with being the guy everybody's targeting. He's not the unknown anymore. He's not the plus 800 underdog anymore. He's going to be the guy where everybody wants to fight. I mean, from Devin Haney to JoJo Diaz to Shakur Stevenson to Ryan Garcia to Tevin Farmer. I mean, fighter after fighter after fighter. Everybody wants to fight George Ferocious Kambosos. Now, if you asked him 24 hours ago, you couldn't get them into the ring with him. So he's in a very interesting spot now. Now everyone's going to want to come after him, and he's a guy who's worked very hard for it. And so he's going to have a lot of that stuff to deal with too. The only thing that really bummed me out with Teofimo, quite honestly, was I wish he could have given a little bit more credit to George. There was no post-fight press conference. They both ended up going to the hospital. They both took some big, big shots. So the part where he is saying, I easily won that fight. All right, fighters say that they win fights all the time. Where he goes and he's asked, well, what do you think it was? And he says, I think it was 10-2. What? I mean, come on, dude. Really? Like, what are we doing here? It's like you want to hear the guy's case. Okay, let me hear what he's got to say. Fighters always think they're going to 10-2. 10 mother bleeping 2. And so that disappoints you as a guy. Look, I like Teofimo Lopez. I really do. I'm not hiding my bias for George. I'm telling you, I was rooting for him tonight. But I like Teofimo Lopez. I think he's 24 years old. He's obviously got a very, very bright future in boxing ahead of him. But, that whole act from the Lopez, duo between junior and senior I mean, you think this is going to drop, you know, it was dropping, but that was like from the school of Adrian Broner, like where he's like, oh, I beat Manny Pacquiao. Huh? All right, man, I guess. I mean, if you think so, that was a disappointing thing to hear from Teofimo. As far as what's next for George, I like what he said. I like what he laid out there with Devin Haney. Like, let's put all this undisputed nonsense to rest. Let's just put up all the belts. I think that I was surprised to learn in our interview that they were actually pretty cool. And Devin seemed like they were pretty cool. He's obviously got the good relationship with Eddie Hearn now. They're going to be fighting next week. You know, Devin's got his hands full a little bit with JoJo Diaz. JoJo's a good fighter. So, and I'm looking forward to that matchup. But, yeah, I would like to put this whole WBC thing to rest and, you know, finally have somebody. Undisputed's so been the thing this year between Josh Taylor and between, you know, the lightweight division and the heavyweight division and all those divisions we're trying to get. Canelo Alvarez at 168. All these divisions of people either becoming undisputed or wanting to become undisputed. And this would, I think this would be a nice next one to go for between, you know, Devin. I would have George, you know, in Vegas for the fight, you know, hopefully get to celebrate with his family a little bit and, you know, have him there, let him have the victory lap, doing all the interviews, all that type of stuff. And then, you know, promote into this thing with him and Devin Haney. And, you know, I think that the one good thing about George winning is he's not really locked into anybody. He's not a top ranked guy. He's not a DAZN guy. He's not a Matchroom guy. You know, he's rep by Lou DiBella and by Peter Kahn. And so they kind of have the ability to snake around here a little bit. And, you know, hell, if, you know, maybe it ends up with him versus Gervonta Davis. Who knows? I would go and I would find the whatever this camp is, they're going to go and find the biggest payday possible. Ryan Garcia throwing his hat in the ring. You know, I don't think Ryan really deserves to fight for the majority of the belts right now. Devin, certainly, I think if he comes out on top, definitely has a claim to that. Gervonta is a huge star. Could see that happening. Lomachenko, obviously, has been in the mix. He's going to be fighting up soon. Would they be interested in that? Maybe. Shakur Stevenson threw his name in the ring. So there's a lot of options. This is the good thing with George. George is going to have a ton of options. But I would say my number one that I would like to see is I would like to see him versus Devin Haney. I would like to stop having semantics arguments about this undisputed thing. I would like the WBC to finally decide who their guy is and them to stick with him. And then we could just move on. But for right now, let's just say that the man, the unified man, the emperor of the 135 division is George Ferocious Kambosos. Well-earned, well-executed. It was an awesome fight, very emotional fight. Felt great for him. I did think when the one judge had it for Teofimo, I'm like, oh, he is going to get effed out of this. Because I thought after those last two rounds, I was like, I knew like after the round 10, I think like a lot of people, we all thought, oh boy, it's teed the right way. But when he had that round 11 and he bounced back and round 12, I was like, they can't F him. I like was screaming at my TV. I wasn't saying F. I was saying they can't the word him here. They can't bleep him here. They can't. And when they gave the one card to Lopez, I was like, oh, man, you just never know with boxing. You just never, ever know. But he got it. The emperor, man. George Ferocious Kambosos. Congratulations to him, his family. It was great meeting his dad this week, last week. And congratulations to his wife, their new baby. And obviously it has to mean a huge ton for him to be able to honor his grandfather this way, who passed in the in-between of these fights. So congratulations to him, and yeah, congratulations to my guy Peter Kahn. You're now managing a champion, the champion of the world. So good for you, my friend. And we'll take a break, man. When we come back, we'll get to a little bit more. Stephen Fulton getting the victory over Brandon Figueroa yesterday. A crazy day of boxing. We'll take a quick break and be back with more after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. Man, crazy night of boxing last night. You had Stephen Fulton coming out on top. He is now the unified champion at 122 pounds. He beat Brandon Figueroa. 116-112 was on two cards. It was a draw on the other. And I thought it was a really, really fun fight. you know, those, I mean, look, when those little guys are in there and they're slugging like crazy at each other and they're throwing, you know, all types of leather and so many punches, you know that this is going to be a tough fight to score because it's unlikely that somebody's going to get finished, but who's going to get the nod on some of these swing rounds? And I thought that Brandon came out on top. I thought that Brandon ended up getting the nod. Now, I thought it was like 7-5. I didn't think that this was, and I was probably subconsciously leaning that I didn't want to go draw on this. I don't really have a problem with Fulton getting the nod. I really don't. Now, him winning 8-4, I'm kind of with Al Bernstein there. I was like, I thought that, you know, it was pretty close there. And I thought that Brandon was really backing him up in those cards. Now, I do agree. I do think that he was throwing a ton of stuff. It was like he was throwing so much at Fulton that I'm sure he was getting the great crowd reaction. I'm sure that maybe it looked a little bit more aesthetically pleasing to him winning. Now, his thought afterwards was not as crazy as Lopez's was. First of all, I do actually think that he has a gripe. I do think he has a gripe that he could have won that fight. So there's that. I wish that both of these guys would have given a little bit more respect to the winner, because the whole point of this is, hey, you're undefeated. You shouldn't take anything poorly from this. Like, I hope for boxing fans, I hope that for the respect that you give these guys going in, and everybody who's a fan of Brandon Figueroa, anybody who's a fan of Teofimo Lopez, I hope you have that same respect coming out, that Teofimo Lopez did stick at 135 and did try and defend his title against a relative unknown in George Kambosos. That Brandon Figueroa, at his age, at his record, is stepping in there with an undefeated champion and is trying to do something for legacy. So I do hope that the fans continue to give these guys their respect. That being said, I wish that there was a little bit more respect that they were giving to their opponents, because, look, that was a very, very tough fight to score. I agree with Brandon's gripe. I do think that he won the fight, but I don't think it's one of these things where you have to say it's a joke that Steven won the fight. I don't think that it was a joke. You knew there were going to be some tough rounds in there. You could see the scoring that was all over social media. You could see the unofficial score with Steve Farhood, like, it was going back and forth. If it was a draw, I don't think anybody would have a gripe with it. And the fact that it did end up with a decision, I think that somebody was going to go home very upset. And I think when you're Brandon Figueroa, you throw 1,000-plus punches, you know, you're going into this and you're kind of trying to find things like, all right, where was this? And let's see what the ended up numbers being. It was Brandon Figueroa was 314 of 1,060 shots, and then you had Stephen Fulton, who threw 726 shots, but landed 269 of them. And I mean, they did not land a lot of jabs between each other. It was mostly in the body range, just wailing on each other. And you know, from that range, like, Fulton was much more accurate than Brandon Figueroa was, but Brandon did land more. I mean, he did land more shots overall. But I do think that some of the slickness that Fulton was able to put in there, yeah, I could see it. I don't really agree with the judges having it and in that range of winning 8-4. I think that's a little bit lopsided. You know, that's like a round away from being a rout. But it's also a round away from being close. Like, it's a tough thing with boxing, but I don't agree with it being in that range. I don't know if they'll end up fighting each other again. Figueroa seems pretty keen on moving up, and so I don't think we'll see it again. You know, Jim Gray was trying to do his best. Well, you agreeing to the rematch or not? Shut up, Jim. Hey, Jim, calm down, my friend. Well, are you agreeing to it or are you not agreeing to it? Hey, are you a promoter, Jim? Chill out. Let him get to his figure the whole thing out, man. I don't know. So from that standpoint, I thought that while I wish Figueroa would have handled himself better, I do think that he had a much bigger gripe than Teofimo Lopez. I don't think Teofimo Lopez has any gripe at all. don't think that, even if Teofimo Lopez would have come at me and said, yeah, I think I won that fight, you know, 7-5, I would have been like, you didn't, playboy. Honestly, you were lucky to win 4 rounds, to be honest with you. If I'm honest, Teofimo, you were lucky to win 4 rounds in that fight. But it is what it is. You know, guys are going to be upset from those from that standpoint. The other thing tonight that you had was this triad that was going on Triller. I did not watch a lot of this. Now, listen, my guy is Shannon the Cannon Briggs. I want to see Shannon get some kind of big payday. So I'm going to be very much into watching him versus Rampage Jackson. But I did not watch a whole hell of a lot of this triad thing that was going on for a couple reasons. One, I was very into actual boxing that had stakes tonight, not some hodgepodge thing in a triangle. Two, this Triller, I mean, they are shameless with their theft. I mean, they really are, or they're skating around things, because you guys stole the Trigon from Dada 5000. I mean, that I'm just going to, you know, I know a lot of people aren't going to care, because they're like, oh, who cares, Tobin? It's a ring. I get you. Like, Octagon, Decagon, Sextagon, a Bellator cage. Who cares? Doesn't everybody kind of have the same thing? I feel you. But it's in their name, the triad. They're all doing the triangle. And look, if you're down here in South Florida, you know about the Trigon. Like, that's Dada 5000's thing. They've been doing the Trigon since it was a cage and when they converted it into a bare-knuckle boxing ring. So the dude got his idea lifted, because everybody's sitting there saying, oh, this is going to be made for contact. Yeah, I bet it is. But you guys stole that idea from Dada 5000 flat out. You stole that idea from Dada 5000. So look, that's on, you know, Mikey Vasquez and everybody at BYB. That's on them to deal with. But yeah, I was like very, very, when I first saw this, I was like, wait, they're fighting in a triangle? Isn't that Dada 5000's idea? Isn't that BYB's thing? And yeah, apparently they're pissed. They like sent out a whole press release of a lawsuit and said that they were, you know, they had, first of all, Fight TV has carried their fights before. They carried this tonight and apparently had talks with Triller about doing BYB and all that stuff. Now, look, again, I don't know what the rules are. I don't know what goes into, hey, you guys lay claim to only getting to fight in a triangle. I don't know, but it's kind of weird. Like, fighting in a triangle is weird. And I only know one person who had this idea, and it was Dada 5000. So that's just it. You know, these are a bunch of people who I like very much. You know, I know this isn't Shannon the Cannon Briggs's problem, because he's just there as basically a promoter. But this Triller, they're a bit sketchy. I mean, let's be honest about it, all right? Everybody comes out of these things pissed off at them that they didn't get paid, or that somebody was left underpaid. Mike Tyson was done with them. Jake Paul was done with them. You had the Evander Holyfield, Vitor Belfort fiasco. And so it kind of seemed like they were out of boxing. Then they just kind of leapt in here with this triad thing, which they seemingly came in on like 2 weeks' notice. And they throw everything against the wall, which is like, you know, Ryan Kavanaugh calling out Dana White, to we have Metallica performing, to we have Rampage Jackson versus Shannon Briggs, but they're not fighting. They're kind of like Ultimate Fighter coaches. Rampage Jackson, we had him on the show on Friday. He didn't even really, or on Wednesday, excuse me. He didn't even sound like he knew what the hell he was getting into. Other than I want to see him and Shannon fight. I don't know if I want to see them fight in a triad or a bootleg trigon is what I should really call it. But yeah, I think part of it probably was the idea that they probably were trying to stick it to Teofimo Lopez and George Kambosos and Peter Connell. I bet they were probably trying to stick it to them a little bit. Like, if we could take a couple buys away or subscriptions away or eyeballs away tonight, so be it. I could tell you off of like my echo chamber, I felt like most people who were into fights were into boxing tonight. They were not into the triad. The only thing I really saw in the triad was I saw that Kubrat Pulev knocked Frank Mir silly Frank Mir was saying, oh, this is the biggest payday in my career. I hope it was, Playboy, because you got embarrassed. I hope it was the biggest payday of your career because, whew, the Cobra, he kicked your ass, man. So, I don't know. Team MMA won, so good for Rampage Jackson. Now, can you and Shannon Briggs just fight each other already? That's really what it would come down to. If you do, then, you know, I'll watch stuff in the triad or whatever the hell you guys are going to fight in, you know, if Triller's around by then. Who knows? But, yeah, dude, I was like, wait a minute. Because I wasn't really sure. Like, they said, oh, we're fighting in a triangle. And I saw Ariel Helwani put out a video of it. I'm like, oh, dude, that's as blatant a ripoff as it gets between the Trigon and what these guys put together. It was crazy what I was seeing, what I was watching there. So I don't know. That was a weird one to watch for sure. But didn't watch, but I guess, you know, Mike Perry was on it tonight. I don't know, man. It looked basically like, it looked a lot like bare knuckle rules, except that they were like in hybrid gloves, to be honest with you, from what I was seeing on Twitter. The gloves looked very small, but they are kind of open, but the fingers were closed in, and, you know, you could do hammer fist, spinning elbows. You know, maybe I'll find a copy of it somewhere and I'll check it out or something like that, but you know, they're like, oh, don't steal it, Tobin. Well, listen, I don't feel bad about stealing their fights if they're stealing ideas from Dana 5000. Feels like what's fair is fair. You know, I'm just saying, you know. But I didn't watch it live tonight. Can't say that I did. As much as I, you know, love my guy Shannon Briggs. Didn't watch it tonight, my guy. I was watching the championship boxing that was going on. That was what I was into. We'll get into some of the news of the week and look ahead to what other action is coming on up. We'll be back with more on the Tobin's Fight Show after this. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. Thank you for tuning in. We've been talking a lot of boxing today. We talked about that Triller thing. I'll get into a little bit of UFC news that's been going on as we have. We're closing in on UFC 269. Very excited about that as you have Dustin Poirier taking on Charles Oliveira for the lightweight championship of the world. You also have Amanda Nunes taking on Juliana Pena for the 135 strap in the women's division. So very excited about that as well. And Poirier, this was an interesting one. Poirier actually, he mentioned this to MMA Junkie, and it said that this may be his last fight at 155 pounds. Which is interesting because there's a lot of, you know, 170 is an interesting division where, you know, Usman's kind of sitting out there and he's waiting for a big old fight. You know, he's waiting for something that wets his whistle. He's talking about this crazy stuff about fighting Canelo Alvarez. It's never going to happen. It's a waste of time. And, you know, it's one of these things where it's just like, yeah, come on, what are we doing here, dude? You know, it's like, you know, and by the way, you know, they just did the pay-per-views for him versus Colby, and it did very well. I think it did like 700,000 buys. That's pretty damn good, you know, especially with the pay-per-view model these days. And, you know, I think shows a lot for, one, I think, you know, that rivalry. I think people are into it. But also for Kamaru. Kamaru's been on a lot of very successful pay-per-views. Between, and he's had good dance partners. You know, I think Masvidal has been a big uplifter for him. But I do think that the more that he fights and the more he puts forth these great performances, I do think people are respecting his greatness and are there's a good portion of people that will tune in. If you don't want to, you're not going to tune in to Kamaru. Kamaru Usman is arguably the best guy doing it right now. You're not going to tune in to watch him fight. Either way, I say this because Dustin Poirier said that he's probably going to go to 170 if he beats Charles Oliveira. And I think that's interesting because if he does go up, that's a monster fight, him versus Kamaru Usman. Kamaru's looking for that big-time fight. What is the big-time thing out there? And Dustin going to 170, that's easily the fight to make, especially if he is the 155-pound champion going on up. Now, will Kamaru Usman hem and haw this? Oh, really? We're going at this guy, and he gets to have the shot at me immediately. Maybe. maybe, but I just, like, what else is he going to do? Is it going to be Leon Edwards, who he's already beaten? Is it going to be, I don't know, you know, somebody else at 170 right now? I'm trying to think. Let's see. Welterweight rankings right now in the UFC. You got Gilbert Burns, beat him. Colby, beat him twice. Leon, beat him. Vicente Luque, that's tasty. Steve Wonderboy Thompson, you know, interesting. Kind of been there, done that with him. Beat Jorge Masvidal twice. And then Sean Brady's kind of an up-and-comer. And Hamzat is obviously the guy that everybody is also looking at. But if Dustin were to hop, if he were to jump ship and move to 170, I think that that would be a pretty phase. Now, this will obviously upset Justin Gaethje. Gaethje wants to get the winner of that fight. Yeah, but he'll end up fighting for the vacant belt anyway. You know, as long as he gets that shot, I don't think he's going to be too upset. And I do think it's interesting for Dustin because you're kind of looking at all the guys who are coming up between Beneil Dariush and Islam Makhachev, and it's kind of this new wave of contenders, and he's kind of sliced and diced through everybody. So do you go and take the gold and run to a new division and see if there's some greener pastures there? I think it's interesting. And then if he doesn't get the Kamaru Usman fight, does he then move to Colby Covington fight? Another little bit of a grudge match there. That'd be interesting. Him versus Leon's a fun fight. Him versus Luque's a fun fight. Him versus Wonderboy's a fun fight. Him and Masvidal won't fight because they're teammates. But there are a lot of fun fights. And honestly, if you're looking at the top six right now in welterweight and you're looking at the top six right now in lightweight, you know, I think with some new blood of Dustin Poirier kind of thrown in there, a guy who's a fight of the year candidate every time that he steps into the cage, it's a really, really fun idea of him going to welterweight. But I honestly think that if he goes, he deserves to go right there and fight the champ right away simply because there's not a lot of great options there. Like, if you're going to be Vicente Luque, you're really going to gripe the fact that Dustin Poirier leaps the line on you. If you're Leon Edwards, well, Leon Edwards is going to gripe no matter what. But, you know, I think if you're the fans and you're like, what do you want to see more? If you ask Dustin Poirier versus Kamaru Usman or Leon Edwards versus Kamaru Usman, that poll will come back 95% to 5. 2% of that is Brits. 3% of that is Fat Thumbs. So just food for thought. Interesting also, Conor McGregor, he said on Twitter, he was doing a bunch of tweeting this week. Very busy thumbs from Conor McGregor. Leg doesn't work. Thumbs work very good. He said, I'm facing whoever the F is has the lightweight title next. Deal with it. Now, he also said something to the degree of the trilogy and all that type of stuff. He also mentioned that him and Nate will eventually happen for sure. We'll see. Maybe Nate won't be in the UFC, Conor, so who knows? Did say this week. He was doing a bunch of Q&As. He said that wasn't too impressed with Kamaru Usman with his title performance against Colby. If it wasn't for the knockdown, I thought that was Colby's fight. If some butts were candy and nuts, whatever. You know, this is like when Conor will fawn over the one round he got against Khabib. So anyway, he says, I'm going to face whoever's the 155-pound belt. I got to be honest with you. I would be very annoyed if I was Dustin Poirier, and that is the case. Because, one, the whole point of Charles Oliveira versus Michael Chandler was because you didn't want to put Conor McGregor in a title fight with me. You made me choose between money and title. So I'd be very annoyed if I was Dustin Poirier. And it would look kind of bad on the UFC if they did do that. And also, it's like, wait a minute. So, you made this title fight with Charles Oliveira and Michael Chandler because you didn't want to have Conor for the title. Now Conor has another loss, and then he does. So, I don't know. I'd honestly find it hard to believe that Conor is going to get thrown in there with the 155-pound champion. I would find that hard to believe. But it is interesting. Like, listen, if Dustin ends up making this jump to 170, do they end up doing the Conor fight there at 170? You know, is that a possibility? Do they go that route? Yeah, definitely. Definitely a possibility. You know, they've done them both at lightweight before. Could they do a welterweight? I know Conor's not going to disagree to that. Clearly, Dustin won't disagree to that. But, yeah, I don't know. I think they've done everything there is. I really feel like they've tapped this Dustin Poirier, Conor McGregor well. I think it needs something new to spice it back up. So whether that's Connor winning and calling Dustin out, whether that's Dustin winning the belt and him calling Connor out, something like that. I don't feel like it's just going to get dropped cold in the middle of it and all of a sudden we're good to go. Speaking of which, on the boxing side of things, this was interesting. Keith Thurman came out this week and he had said that he wants to return to face Terrence Crawford or Errol Spence. That's an interesting one. I got to say, Keith, I don't see it happening. I got to think that whatever jump Terrence Crawford is going to make next, it's going to be made with the intention of going to fight Errol Spence. I can't imagine that being, I'm going to go and I'm going to fight Keith Thurman before getting to Errol Spence. Doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense to me. Also, feel like Terrence Crawford smokes Keith Thurman. Errol Spence kind of has a thing with Keith Thurman too. So I don't know. He might be left out in the cold in this one, but he says that he is reinvigorated, if you will, when it comes to that type of stuff. Also, speaking of a little chicanery in the fight game, this is interesting. So Jake Paul, according to John Fury, that's Tommy Fury's dad, refused VADA testing. He will not be randomly drug tested in the lead up to his fight in Tampa Bay, where their lone test will be, of course, in competition from the Florida State Athletic Commission. And, you know, you even have Victor Conti calling him out this week on that, which is kind of interesting that between all of this, Jake Paul, between all of this stuff where Jake Paul is driving everybody insane and nuts, the thing that's also going to make it funny is like, oh, what if he is also a PED cheat on top of everything? Which honestly for me I think would be kind of funny, because if he did come out afterwards, say he won the fight and then he does say that I was on steroids, what's anyone gonna do? What is the Florida State Athletic Commission, they're gonna besmirch the sanctity of Jake Paul's record? I guess first what you do is you get your purse first and then you worry about the rest. But I found that interesting. It's like, oh wow, We're trying to hold Jake Paul to the clean athlete standard. Like, you don't know you're already going into a clown show when it comes to this boxing thing between Jake Paul and Tommy Fury and all that type of stuff. So some interesting stuff out there to chew on for sure. But a fun week, man. It was a fun, interesting week. Congrats again to George Kambosos for becoming champion. Congrats to Stephen Fulton for becoming unified 122 champion. And great shows by both of those guys. And for the guys that lost, man, look, still going to watch your next fights. You guys, you know, put it on the line there too. I want this to become more like mixed martial arts in the sense of I do want young fighters who do risk it, who do put it on the line against top line contenders. I want those guys to get their respect too. And I do wish that Teofimo handled the loss a little bit better today. I think that was like it reeked of desperation to me. Like, I got to get my next fight. My next fight has to be against Kambosos. But honestly, I think they're right. I think, yeah, should Teofimo move up? I would move up. Move up. See, you know, now, the one thing I would say with Teofimo moving up that would concern me is, you know, had a lot of trouble getting George Kambosos down today. Hit him with some real flush stuff, but it took up until round 10 to really get him. So that would give me some concern if I was them moving up and trying to get into this 140 game or this 147 game eventually. You know, he's not a tall dude. And I don't think he's got Gervonta Davis special power. But he talks a good game. I think that those two make for a good bad guy tandem. They can make you really root against them. But, you know, all credit goes to George tonight, man. This is, in my mind, it's his night. And he really, 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 really earned it there in the match on Saturday night. That's our show for this week, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. And we'll talk to you next time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.